My guest at this time is Peter Sepp, the Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayer organization in the country. You can find more about them and learn more about their work at ntu.org. Pete is with us, obviously, today to offer his analysis of the fiscal cliff relief bill that passed the Senate just hours into the new year and later on New Year's Day in the House of Representatives. A lot of people relieved, a lot of people a little bit nauseous as to what happened in this bill and the process that took place. So Pete is here to separate fact from fiction and talk about the real impact here. So Pete, one of the debates we were having in Washington was, would no deal be better than the deal we got? And ultimately, there are some that think that what we got is worse. Some think it's better than having gone over the cliff in full. What's your take?
Well, I think we have to take the good with the bad here. We obviously did secure permanent tax relief through the 2001 and 2003 laws for about 98% of Americans. We also permanently extended the so-called patch that protects about 30 million Americans from having to pay the dreaded alternative minimum tax. But then there are the undesirable parts of the bill that, on balance, will leave many people scratching their heads and wondering, couldn't we have done better here, especially just reforming the system overall? You know, we keep hearing that, well, Congress has upped the capital gains tax rate to 20%. That's actually not the case. Through this legislation, there will be several different rates. You'll have 0%, 15%, 18.8%, 20%, even 23.8%. And this makes an important point. There's going to be a lot more complexity introduced in the system because of this bill, especially for higher income earners. If you earn more than $450,000 as a joint filer, you've got a new income tax rate. More than $300,000, you're going to start losing some of your itemized deductions. More than $250,000, you may have to pay a new surtax thanks to the 2010 health care law. A provision of that's taking effect. So lots of different things to take account for, and you can bet the tax preparation industry will be busy at the next tax filing season.
So the effort towards tax simplification took a step backwards, you're saying?
Absolutely. A giant leap backward, not just because of these new provisions, but the failure of Congress to get to work on addressing the existing complexities of the tax system. Another missed opportunity.
Both sides are saying that this year needs to be a year that seriously focuses on tax reform, given how much difficulty there was in getting to the bill that was finally agreed to. Do you have optimism that that will actually happen this year?
It will be an uphill climb, thanks to what has been done here. That's an important thing to remember. Sure, if Congress were starting with a clean slate to build a new tax system, it would be a relatively easy task to reach agreement on a few principles, but the waters have been muddied further here by all of these clawbacks and new provisions and carve-outs in the law, plus the fact that a couple dozen, actually several dozen, tax extenders were renewed for another 5 years. Now, we shouldn't be taking away these provisions just for the purposes of raising more revenue, but they could have been more easily put on the table for an overall package that reduced rates at the same time. You know, you phase out these deductions, phase in lower rates, so that you have an initially revenue-neutral solution. Congress has really complicated matters by extending some of these provisions without providing a roadmap for rate reduction.
We're talking with Peter Sepp, Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union. And Pete, one of the things that the president wanted, of course, was to raise taxes on individuals making north of $200,000 and couples making more than $250,000. There was also the impact in the debate of what impact this would have on job creators. Now that the number's up to $400,000 for singles and $450,000 for couples, what's the impact on the job creators and what it might mean for economic growth or lack of it?
Well, there was this constant debate, of course, among those who said the majority of small businesses, the backbone of job creation, or at least supposedly in this country, have they don't pay the top tax rate right now. But others countered by saying, yes, but the majority of small business income was taxed at the highest rate. Moving this threshold up from the $200,000-$250,000 level to $400,000-$450,000 might help to take some of the edge, some of the sting out of the tax increase, but it won't entirely help job creators. And we also have to remember there are new types of taxes that reach a little further down the income scale. Again, the clawbacks of the itemized deductions and the new health care surtax, that will affect not only individuals, but small business owners who file on the 1040 tax return to declare their profits.
What about payroll taxes? Those are coming back. I don't think most folks probably thought that the cuts that have been in place for the past couple of years were going to be in place long term, but that obviously hits just about everyone who works.
Yes, that will be a surprise, an automatic 2% reduction in most people's paychecks. And at a time when folks are still very skittish about the economy, just look at the poor showing of the last retail shopping season for the holidays, this could not be worse timed.
Pete, there's another issue that came up, and I believe the official number came from the Congressional Budget Office, and many folks were looking at entitlement reforms, spending cuts to try and reduce our deficit. Their number came back at $41 in new taxes for every dollar of spending cuts. Your reaction to that?
This is obviously the worst part of this legislation. Members of Congress decided that, well, we're going to try and separate the spending side of the ledger question from the tax side of the ledger question. Don't worry, we're going to make a commitment in 2 months to address the so-called sequester, the mechanism that is trying to impose about $109 billion worth of spending slowdowns. Well, people have a right to be cynical of whether Congress will ever get to the important business of controlling expenditures and reforming entitlement programs after this. This is by far the biggest punt of a season's worth of punting on fiscal issues. And, of course, 2 months' delay is not going to make much difference in terms of the feelings of lawmakers who are reluctant to deal with these problems.
Last question, Pete, from your own personal perspective and from what you're hearing from your members, was this something that had to be done, hold your nose and vote, or should this have been kicked to the curb?
Congress still had time to pass a better package than this. They will say that this was the best deal that was politically possible. I think that had they gotten to this work sooner, even right after the election in more earnest, they might have come up with a better package.
So we'll reconvene, I guess, when the debt ceiling gets close to being breached again. It's going to be quite an interesting year on this front, and always grateful to have your analysis along the way. Pete, thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Take care.
Pete Zepp is the Executive Vice President at the National Taxpayers Union. Learn more about them at ntu.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.